Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Michael Fitzhugh Bell and his book, The Invisible Crime, Part 2, A Targeted Individual, Synthetic Telepathy, and Global Criminal Biomedical Human Experimentation. What we're going to talk about today is a vast system that exists for experimentation within the U.S. government at levels above top secret. So this is something that has been alluded to in some of the, I guess, the sci-fi literature, but not really ever described as it is in actuality. We've had Michael on twice before to talk about this, and today we're going to go into more depth. Welcome, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
It's nice to be back.
So, when did your book come out, the second part?
The new book was released in September of 2017, just last September.
Okay. And would you like to give the listening audience a little bit of introduction about how you became a victim of this this technology, a targeted individual?
Sure. Well, it started for me in, I was a screenwriter out in Hollywood, California, and one night I was drugged and abducted from my apartment there. And during my abduction, I remember bits and pieces of it. I remember some of the perpetrators wearing frightening masks, and at several different points, I remember surgeons with surgical masks standing over me as I lay on a surgical table somewhere. And then when I woke up, which I thought was the next morning, which was really a week later, I noticed that my body was riddled with these tiny corresponding and symmetrical surgical incision scars, which I didn't understand at the time. And after consulting with private investigators and an ex-CIA agent that I knew, they informed me that because of what happened to me and the scars that I had on my body, it was possible that I had been implanted with advanced nanotechnology biomedical devices. So, and it was too hard for people to believe what had happened to me when I tried to explain it to them. So I literally traveled around the world collecting medical evidence in the forms of MRIs, ultrasounds, x-rays, and all of them showed foreign objects which were directly beneath these covert surgery incision scars. And I was going to say, from my research, indicates that I'm actually part of a massive field test of illegal clinical trial and human experimentation using classified technologies. I think what people, seems to me, when I try to explain what happened to me to people, the most difficult aspect for people to comprehend is the level of sophistication of these classified technologies, which are really about anywhere between 50 and 70 years ahead of where the world's technology is, where we are today. This is technology that's been kept secret and been perfected and tested and retested, and is really estimated to be somewhere between 50 and 70 years ahead of where we are today. And also, my research indicates is that I'm a test subject for something that is known as an unacknowledged special access program.
And what's that program entail?
That's the unacknowledged special access programs are believed to be at the highest levels of classified information above top secret. Usually in my research, I found that that targeted individuals like myself are in usually more than one program. These programs are literally programs of human experimentation. So medical experimentation, psychological and physical experimentation. That's the basis for the programs that I know of. And there's many, and it seems to me that most targeted individuals that I've interviewed and that I know are in several different of these unacknowledged special access programs.
I've been talking with individuals who were chipped when they were in the military, and two kinds of programs seem to exist there. One is the Super Soldier program, which you talk about in your book,
right.
Radar detectors in the feet, chips to raise blood pressure temporarily, GPS locators, voice to skull for direction, you know, for giving directions on the battlefield. Many of these things are tested in these individuals, of course, against their knowledge or will. You know, they're usually chipped while they're in the military. And then the other one that you talk about in the book is also the assassin program. And I have met those people as well, where they are part of a program where, I guess it's the extension of the MK Ultra program, but essentially whatever technology is being used in them can trigger them to commit assassination. And usually they're either killed by the cops or they kill themselves. And so the, you know, the evidence doesn't ever come to light. You know, it's probably whisked away very quickly.
Right.
So that, those two, and then there's another one that I've seen is psychological torture, where they're trying to get them to commit suicide. And that seems to be a program into itself. And, for example, they'll take psychologists and chip them and try to make them do that. So it's just interesting that these three programs that I'm aware of
There's another program, too, that I discuss in my new book, which is believed to be part of the biological weapons program. I have, as do many other target individuals, have a condition known as Morgellons disease, which is an uncommon, rare, unacknowledged skin disorder experienced
which
by a
small
percentage.
It's more than a skin disorder. It's a systemic disorder.
Right,
systemic.
Right.
I treat Morgellons, so I know it very well.
Yes, and its victims are routinely falsely labeled with delusional parasitosis. Although the claims may be real, criminal misdiagnosis can be used as a weapon against these victims. And
right.
Also,
yeah, a lot of them are put in institutions.
Yes, and also another aspect that is rarely addressed is the cocoons, which are unknown identified fiber spools, which are often found within the residence that demonstrate an unnatural pathogen or synthetic worm that lives inside of its human host, the victim in this case. And in my case, I've actually had some of these fiber spools examined by a North Carolina Agricultural Center, and they were not able to identify these tiny fiber spools and had never seen anything like them before. And also another aspect is that people that do have this condition, Morgellons disease, often experience open lesions with small fiber filaments coming out of them, also accompanied by feelings of insects crawling on their skin. It's a very disturbing and also the to be able to explain this to a doctor or if you go to a skin doctor and try to explain this, they're not taught to acknowledge this skin disorder, and because they think inside the box, and this is obviously something that is outside of the box that they do not recognize. And often victims that have this particular condition, Morgellons disease, will be dismissed, even though they are telling the truth. The doctors fail to recognize in many cases that the patient may actually be telling the truth, but because they're thinking inside this box, they don't recognize some of the possibilities that exist outside of it.
Well, the box is called three-dimensional. Morgellons exists is a fourth-dimensional intrusion into the third. So therefore, it's not even understood by people who don't understand multidimensional reality. So, you know, it's very unlikely that the medical profession is going to be able to understand this disease. But if you know the cause of the disease and you know how to block the energy, the disease is really very treatable, in my experience. So
I do
understand Morgellons pretty well. I have many, many people cured from it. So, but it is something that's multidimensional. And so, again, without being able to understand that we live in a multidimensional reality, doctors are not going to understand the mechanism, the causation of the disease. It's not that there's actual insects or actual parasites, although sometimes I do have to treat the people for parasites. That is true. They actually do have parasites because their immune system's depressed, but it is animated fibers that look like insects and parasites and act like them. So it's a energetic disease, if you want to say. And then the fibers are manifestations of that, and they're not able to be identified because they don't come, you know, they are from a different dimension than ours,
right?
Which is
right.
Interesting. But it is very much wrapped up in the most doctors who've published on Morgellons have lost their medical license. And I interviewed a Canadian doctor who just published a case report, just one patient, and lost his medical license. So it obviously is very politically incorrect. And I was given information on the disease that turned out to be correct because it did provide source. So it turned out to be correct, and that's the way I understand the disease. And everybody, you do have to detox. Morgellons, you have to raise the vitamin D level to normal, like between 50 and 100. It's usually very low. You have to detox. NAC is very effective, other detox agents. You have to block the energy coming in from the other dimension. And you do have to treat the limes or mold or yeast. There's many things that are triggers for Morgellons, like chemotherapy, mold in breast implants, mold in the house, people with Lyme's disease or other intracellular infections. So the underlying co-infections need to be treated as well for the person to get well. So that's Morgellons, and it's not going to be understood by doctors that don't understand multidimensional reality.
Right.
But multidimensional reality problems are very much understood by the people running these programs, okay? They use that as part of the whole thing. So they know where this energy is coming from.
Right. It's also the
you still there, Michael?
Misdirection. I'm sorry? I was going to also say that the people that are aware that it exists are often deceiving people through misdirection, through just not acknowledging the truth.
Don't you just hate trying on bathing suits? Wait a minute, you look great. Plastic surgery?
Not surgery. I got an endermology treatment from the experts at Plastikos.
What's endermology?
Endermology is the terrific non-surgical treatment that Europeans have been using for years to tone skin and contour the body. Endermology by Plasticose feels great, and you can see the difference it makes.
No kidding. Who do I call?
Plasticose, a leader in plastic and reconstructive surgery, is the number one center in Atlanta offering endermology. For more information and a complimentary consultation and treatment, call Plasticose at 770-457-4677. Plasticose Endermology Skin Toning and Body Contouring, 770-457-4677.
Please join us every Saturday morning for Temple of Health Radio Show, brought to you by Plasticose and Millennium Healthcare. Our holistic medical practices in Atlanta are committed to community education. Our shows bring you national authors on topics of health alternatives, new scientific breakthroughs, and spiritual medicine.
I'm sick and tired of always feeling sick and tired, and I don't want to take a lot of prescription drugs to feel better. Isn't there a better way?
Millennium Healthcare offers natural solutions to your health problems. Millennium Healthcare is qualified healthcare professionals working with you to restore your health and wellness. Whether it's a caring physician, one of our natural providers, or our natural apothecary, Millennium Healthcare can help. For more information, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012.
Welcome back to Temple of Health Radio Show. We've had some interference, which is not uncommon during shows like this. Anyway, Michael, would you like to continue with what we're talking about?
Yeah, I was just saying, I was just agreeing with you on the Morgellons disease not being recognized by doctors and by perhaps even the media. Nobody really seems to acknowledge it, although it does exist, as you said, and it is a real condition. And also, it also is part of the actual disinformation or the deceivement that's being perpetrated on not just American people, but people around the world that have this condition, in an effort to hide this aspect of the crime of human experimentation.
So, I was saying that Morgellons is politically incorrect, and doctors that have published on it have lost their medical license in many cases.
Right.
So it's kind of like mold and silicone breast implants and all of that that is not supposed to be, and also intracellular infections are not supposed to be discussed in the medical field. So anyway, would you like to give us some more information about some of the techniques used during the experimentation?
Well, for me, I experience, I guess you would say, certainly portions. In terms of the crime that I've written about, is broken up into three main parts, which is the organized stalking of the electronic harassment, and also the remotely induced mind control. And I certainly experience the electronic sleep deprivation aspect on a regular basis, denying me my rapid eye movement, REM sleep, which is the most restorative mm-hmm. and beneficial aspect of sleep. I experience, through the remotely induced mind control, dream manipulation, mood alteration, urge induction, and also memory fogging. And I have to say, sometimes during my radio interviews, like this one, mm-hmm. I believe my perpetrators are using similar frequencies to what the U.S. diplomats in Cuba claimed that they were attacked and tortured by ultrasonic acoustic weapons, causing severe headaches, pain, and permanent hearing loss. I believe that I'm having similar, if not identical, frequency weapons used on me. When I'm doing these interviews, for instance, it seems to me that I'm on somewhat heavy attack in an attempt to diminish my ability to communicate effectively to the listeners, jamming and dulling my focus, often disorienting me as I try to form and convey thoughts, even sometimes mid-sentence, which to an extent compromises my credibility. And sometimes you can be in the middle of a conversation, and it's not uncommon for people to forget what they're talking about or get distracted, but this happens particularly during my interviews when I'm trying to form a sentence, or sometimes in the middle of a sentence I'll completely forget what I'm talking about, which is really disturbing because I can see firsthand that whatever frequencies are being used on me, whatever classified technologies that are being used are working. They are impacting me, and they are negatively impacting me and diminishing my ability to give a credible and fluent interview, sometimes disrupting me completely. So it's not uncommon. And also, as you said earlier, when we experienced the interference on the radio, that also, and in the presentation today on the radio show, that's often the case when I do shows. Well, the communication will be temporarily disabled or muted, or the call will be lost and have to reestablish the connection. And it's really no coincidence that something like this would happen during an interview about this subject matter.
Right. Yeah. No, it's very common when you're talking about these problems. I was interviewing Dr. Garth Nicholson, who came up with the cure for the Gulf War syndrome, diagnosing the weaponized mycoplasma. And the first time I was interviewing him was actually at a radio. I was at a radio station, and when we went to break, and he said, "Well, after the break, we'll talk about how the U.S. Violated Geneva Convention," you know, and he was going on about that, and then every line to the radio station went down at once and stayed down. And then he said that happens all the time when he was interviewed.
Yes, it's very common. It's no coincidence.
Yeah. Right. That's very true. Yeah, I've had it happen a number of times when I'm talking to whistleblowers that have had multiple assassination attempts, especially like Dr. Nicholson. So they don't like certain people to talk about what they're talking about, and they try to stop it.
I used to say
if the government hadn't tried to kill you at least four times, you don't have anything important to say.
Right.
Not the current government.
It also, to some extent, confirms that what we're talking about obviously is threatening to the people that are behind these crimes and do not like having them exposed. Even me, for this second book, during the submission process, my publisher informed me that someone or some group tried to sabotage my new book during the submission process. An extremely sophisticated program was found embedded into the manuscript that corrupted, scrambled, and encrypted the text, making it impossible to read. But luckily, my publisher was able to extract the program after several weeks of diligent reformatting. But he'd never seen anything like it in his 25 years in the publishing business.
You know what you ought to do is look up on WikiLeaks, Vault 7, and I think it's Vault 7 and Vault 8, are all the different descriptions of the programs like that. You may be able to actually find the program used in your manuscript. You ought to check it out, WikiLeaks. I mean, it's a leak of the CIA programs to do this. So you might actually be able to find the program and link it back to the CIA.
Well, he said this program that was embedded in my manuscript was extremely sophisticated. He'd never seen anything mm-hmm. like it in the 25 years of publishing, and he said that it was no coincidence that it happened to my book and only to my
right.
book. He's never seen
only
it before.
Only to your book, yeah, that's true. Well, I won't say who, but one person published some information on chemtrails and Morgellons fibers and told me that anthrax had been put in their luggage on a cross-country trip. So even anthrax is used as a potential assassination weapon, which is most likely pretty extreme. I would think that's pretty extreme to put anthrax in somebody's luggage. But anyway, it's a lot of people just aren't aware of the degree that, especially professionals who are trying to publish and scientifically document certain things, are harassed.
Yes, and threatened.
Yep.
Doctors that are trying to help me. When I did have in my first book, I had one biomedical implant removed from my jaw, and when I mm-hmm. went to visit the doctor, I had to go to about 10 or 12 different doctors to get somebody willing to remove it. And then when I went for the initial visit, the doctor was more than willing to help me, but when I didn't really seem very concerned with this small little bump that I had in my lower jaw. But the day mm-hmm. of the removal, this doctor was in a completely different mindset and was very businesslike and did not. And whereas in the first visit, he sort of indicated that whatever they pulled out of me, he was going to give me. He didn't really have any problem with me keeping it. But when I mm-hmm. came back the second time for the removal, and once he removed it, he would not let me keep it. And mm-hmm. I was only able to photograph it, and then it was taken away from me, and he said it was sent to pathology and that it was diagnosed as a mucoid formation. But you can see clearly from the picture in my first book that this is nothing that would have come from the human body ever.
And anything that goes to pathology, the patient can request to be returned to them. It happens all the time. I mean, like a bullet, okay? We remove bullets. And it goes to pathology, and then it goes, of course, chain of custody, and then it can be returned to the patient. Or if it doesn't have to go chain of custody because it's not a criminal event, it can go back to the patient. It's no problem, especially if it's a non-organic matter, to send it back to the patient. Now, sometimes if it's organic, it's messier because it's, you know, could be have disease in it or something. But, you know, something that's mechanical can definitely go back to the patient. So I think you're right that he was interfered with at that level.
Probably threatened either to, if he didn't comply,
yeah.
to either have his license revoked or suspended or worse. I don't know what the threats were made, but they were clear that they did not want me to leave that building with that in my possession.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So some of the programs are mind control programs, and people say that their dreams are manipulated. There are their emotions manipulated, and they can actually read their minds. I mean, because when they think thoughts, then the voice of the skull comes back and tells them what they were thinking.
Right.
Most people wouldn't believe this technology is possible, but it would seem to be possible based on the TI's descriptions?
Well, it's I describe in the new book what is the term used to describe that process now is something called synthetic telepathy, which is the bidirectional information process between a human being's mind and a supercomputer, which, as you said, it gives the capability of reading and interpreting a person's brain waves and also putting back information in real time. But this is being done remotely, really hacking a person's mind remotely without them even being aware that it's happening to them. And also information being put back into the person's mind, the person is not able to distinguish between their own natural thought process and those thoughts that are being projected at them unnaturally, artificially, synthetically. And it's scary to think. I think also the other thing in addition to people not being able to understand just how advanced these classified technologies are, people just don't want to even admit that this could even, it's too disturbing. It's beyond, it's something that is so disturbing for people to understand that this could be happening to them, that they would rather not, unless it's touched them directly or somehow affected their lives directly, they would just, most of the people that I come in contact with that are not targeted individuals would rather not know about it. Not only are they not capable of understanding that this technology exists, but it's just too disturbing to admit that this could happen, and worse, that there's really nothing so far that they could do about it if it is happening to them. And most likely, there are many thousands of people that are being targeted that are not even aware that it's occurred and it's been happening to them for quite some time, maybe even their entire lives, without them even being aware that their thoughts are being monitored and manipulated or corrupted.
Yeah, I think more recently, surgeons are not used to implant devices. I think devices are implanted with needles. The more recently targeted individuals don't seem to have scars. So I know that a lot of the older TIs had, they had an accident, went to the ER and was implanted in the ER during surgery. I've seen hysterectomies and breast augmentations and other surgical procedures, but it seems like now it's mostly just injection.
Right, and they're so, which leaves really no scar, and the devices are so small that they're difficult to detect and can often migrate from the point of injection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're probably much less. The implantable devices, surgically implantable devices, were around a millimeter, and these devices are like a quarter to an eighth of a millimeter, so they're very tiny.
Yes.
Very advanced technology, which I believe wasn't even developed on planet. So, I think this is a different type of technology brought in, not human technology.
Yes, I've heard that. I've heard that. I'm not sure if that's. I don't know any more about that, but it certainly seems possible that that it came from somewhere else.
Well, it would be much more advanced than 50 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, even more advanced than 50 or 70 years into our future,
right.
Way ahead of where we are today. So that would be a possible explanation.
Well, there's many people saying that disclosure is around the corner and we may be able to determine much more about these devices after disclosure, so we'll see. But certainly, I believe that this program is ending soon. I think that there are many inroads, including multiple indictments coming down and multiple programs that are going to be shut down because of the brave actions of our military and federal marshals and getting the corrupt justice system corrected. Corruption in high level of the government is going to be undone.
Shortly. I hope so.
I think it will. And, the larger devices like the man-made devices, which are the FRID chips, those have to be removed because they are the electromagnetics associated with them increase the risk of sarcoma.
Right.
But fortunately, these smaller chips don't. They don't have the same need for large electromagnetics to work them. So that's good. Now, let's talk about some of the things that you talked about in your book about protecting yourself, because I think that the protection tells you a lot about the technology. You know, it really does. The neodymium magnets, the grounding, and the other things you mentioned in your book are very, very important for understanding how these technologies work.
I have to use a very powerful neodymium rare earth magnet when I sleep, usually over my heart, where it seems to be, that seems to be, at least in my particular case, where I experience pain on a regular basis, and the magnet's powerful magnetic force is enough to disrupt the frequencies that are being that are coming and going from my body, enough to lower the threshold of pain that I experience. Also, the earthing device or grounding device, which I use, I really use it all the time, as much as I can. And I also have it's something that reduces the electronic attacks that are being thrust upon me constantly, especially at night when I'm trying to sleep. And I also have that, which plugs directly into the wall and taps into the grounding of the building that I'm in. Mm-hmm. I also have another mobile version for my car, which plugs into my cigarette lighter in the car really does the same thing. It's really a grounding device, which disrupts some of the attacking frequencies that are being broadcast at me constantly. And they do work.
Yeah, those
to
are
some extent.
Those are
they're
very
not 100%,
useful.
But they do. But they're better than nothing. And once you get used to them, their benefits, I believe, are seen over a course of time. You may notice benefits right away. You may notice a reduction in the pain and the effects of electromagnetic assaults and electronic assaults. You may notice the benefits right away, but generally, it seems to me that you're going to see more results over several months of continuous use. Then the more you use it, the more effective it is, in my experience, certainly.
There's a theory that the free radicals, that we all have, power some of these devices. So decreasing free radicals could make the chips less effective.
That's something that I believe is what's happening when you use the earthing device in particular. Mm-hmm. That it does seem to reduce the amount of free radicals. It certainly makes sense that would happen as a result of using it, as opposed to just not being grounded and being subjected to these frequencies, which over time really can make a person fatigued and lower their immune system.
Yeah, I almost that, anybody can benefit from grounding. I mean, it's very good to do.
Even people that aren't targeted would benefit from having the reduction of free radicals in their body.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea how many targeted individuals there are that know they're targeted?
In my research, I would have to say that there are probably many thousands of people, certainly I would say 150,000 people perhaps in the mm-hmm. United States that are at some level that are aware of their targeting. That's part of the mystique that people just don't understand, is that unlike other crimes where the perpetrators don't want the victims to know what's happening to them or to whatever mm-hmm. whatever crime is being committed against them, unlike ordinary crimes, this crime is unlike any other crime in that the criminals, the perpetrators, whether it's the multinational corporations, the military black ops portion of the shadow government, or the global criminal syndicate, these people want the individual to know. They seem to be going mm-hmm. out of their way to make them aware. Even though it's being done covertly, it's so obvious and overt in terms of the attacks that are being done to them, which also adds to the psychological terror to know that someone's doing this, and it's so much unlike any other crime that people could be victims of, in that most crimes happen once or twice, but this is something that's ongoing, continuous, and constant. And to know that this is happening to you and not being able to do anything about it really adds to the hopelessness that many targeted individuals experience, because not only do they not know how to stop it, but they don't really know for sure who their perpetrators are. They may suspect that the neighbors are involved, and in most cases, certainly in my I've had to move, at one point I had to move residences around the country 14 different times in 9 years, and always at one point or another, the people that lived around me, whether it was in sharing a wall in an apartment building or whether there were neighbors across the street, always my neighbors were certainly involved on some level, although a lot of targeted individuals seem to think that those are the primary people behind their individual being targeted, but really they may be part of it, but that's another thing that I've in this second book that I've discovered, is that it seems to me that this is a crime which involves people who are controlling people who are in turn being controlled themselves by other people without being aware of it. So even and that's another thing too, the especially down at the street level with the organized stalking, the stalkers who may be getting small rewards, financial rewards or whatever, maybe they're being motivated by false rumor campaigns about the targeted individual, they don't realize that they, too, are part of the experiment in terms of mm-hmm. how the people that are above them, that they're taking direction from, are manipulating them to see how far that they can push the perpetrators themselves to do things that they wouldn't normally do, and also without feelings of remorse or experiencing any empathy or sympathy for the targeted individual. So they're really trying to mm-hmm. desensitize the perpetrators and seeing how far they can go with that project. And in my research, the people that are the primary perpetrators, known as handlers, don't realize that this is really part of the military. It's they're being, in my studies, being misled into why they're doing what they're doing. They don't really question it. The perpetrators would never question. As long as they're getting paid and they're being motivated by some terrible lie, doesn't seem like they have any problem at all in carrying on with this crime, which they're pretty much guaranteed to be free of getting in trouble for, being held accountable for their actions, which is really
until the DOJ is cleaned up, which is happening now. And what's interesting to me is that most of the TIs know who these handlers are by name. And it's amazing to me that the handlers don't understand that they're going to be the ones in court. I mean, you know, why otherwise would the TIs know the handlers' names? I mean, they are the patsies. When this goes down, they are the patsies. But they haven't figured that out yet.
That's especially common. For me, my situation is different because I don't receive the voice-to-skull technology, I don't receive that. But most of the people that I know do. Most of the target individuals that I know do receive that form of harassment, and using that declassified and proven to exist in work technology. And as you said, they don't realize that the target, over time, especially if they're keeping an accurate and detailed journal. Everything that they're hearing over time, they're able to put together what's happening to them.
Right, that's true. They usually know the names, which is interesting. Also, in voice to skull, if they put a microphone in the air, they can record the conversation. So there's no doubt that these are electronic transmissions rather than, you know, some psychological or psychiatric problem.
Right. You know, I do hear a very loud electronic sound that I remember when it was at first initiated and activated, mm-hmm. as I describe in my first book, in 2008. And I do hear a sound that I've never heard before that's constant and continuous, with never having any kind of a break. And with rising tones and popping sounds and clicking noises, I do hear that, and also too, I've noticed. It seems when I'm talking about something of importance that may be of importance to the people that are surveillancing me, especially when I'm talking on the phone, I can hear that whatever device is connected to my ear canals, ability to hear, I can feel the device vibrating or modulating as words come through the phone, rather more so than in just a regular, when I'm watching television or if I'm just talking to someone or listening to something, then it's almost similar to my regular hearing outside of the loud electronic sound that I hear constantly in the background. But when it's something important, the device in both of my ears as each syllable comes through, the device is vibrating or somehow acknowledging the income of this audio that's being coming in, and it's somewhat painful and I can notice the difference when obviously I get the sensation that the interpretation that the people that are listening at that moment are really listening and scrutinizing in certain conversations, especially with other targeted individuals, if they're telling me something of great importance or something they've just discovered, during those kind of conversations, I'll notice a difference in my in my hearing and the way it feels in my ears when, as each mm-hmm. word is coming in, as I'm picking up the audio.
Hmm. Well, so what else can help targeted individuals? You mentioned that video cameras are important to, to document everything.
Right. Yes. Video cameras, although nothing can beat a video, some of the still photographs that I take, especially with the street theater or in certain odd, bizarre behavior that's occurring around me when I go out in public, and when I mm-hmm. capture it on film, the people that are the perpetrators that are demonstrating the behavior, which are obviously wanting to harass me and make me know that I'm constantly mm-hmm. under surveillance, constantly, that those people do not appreciate me documenting them at all. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten to the point where I'm able to take their picture or shoot a video very casually and without drawing attention to myself. But they seem to know when they're on film, and I find that although it doesn't eliminate the acts of harassment that happen to me constantly when I go out in public, especially when I'm traveling, it does certainly reduce the mm-hmm. the amount of harassment that I receive, especially through the organized stalking. It doesn't eliminate it, but it does reduce it to some degree, and it just tells me that the people that are doing it obviously know what they're doing is wrong, and they don't like being associated with it. And mm-hmm. I guess there's a certain degree of shame and being caught in the act, so to speak, and
right.
they try to avoid that as much as possible. But it just tells me that my documenting is effective, and
I have one more question.
Sure.
Sorry to interrupt, but I want to get this question in before we end up out of time. Have you noticed a decrease in any of the electronic or even the gang stalking in the last 2 to 3 weeks?
Not really. Not at my level of targeting. Especially since I came mm-hmm. out with the second book, I haven't. Honestly, I would like to say that I have, but I haven't really. They seem to be pretty determined with my particular case, but I look forward to any reduction. I would certainly notice it. Sometimes once in a while there are times when I'm expecting something to happen, because it just seems that, you know, when I go to certain stores, certain locations, mm-hmm. I can expect it. And if I don't, I'm often more surprised than if somebody's not there waiting for me at the bottom of a ramp, getting off a mm-hmm. highway, or in a store, or the way that I'm treated by the employees. That's usually where I'm experiencing most of it. Sometimes it's the customers, but more often than not, it's the actual employees of the stores that I frequent that are participating mm-hmm. in it. But I haven't really noticed any reduction, really, but I'm hoping always.
Well, I think the money is being impacted right now through executive orders and cutting off certain flows of money into the black programs. So you might find that less money is available for these obviously expensive endeavors, especially with the gang stalking. So just keep an eye out for it. The electronic stuff may not decrease, because it's probably more centralized and not as expensive to do.
Right.
But I would think the gang stalking would be more expensive. So just keep an eye out in the next couple of weeks and let me know.
That's the hands-on. That's the hands-on approach of the crime.
Right. Well, we're coming up at the last of our hour here. Would you like to give your contact information?
Yes. My both of my books The Invisible Crime and the Visible Crime Part 2, my new book, Targeted Individual Synthetic Telepathy and Global Criminal Biomedical Human Experimentation. Both books are available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine books are sold, as well as I have two websites, www.invisiblecrime.com and my new website, www.michaelfbell.com.
Well, great. Well, thanks for joining us today, Michael. It's been a great conversation about a subject that most people would prefer not to exist, but I think in the near future we may find a lot more about these programs becoming public, along with disclosure and other revelations about the secret top programs that are part of the secret government.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So this has been Temple of Health Radio Show. We've been interviewing Michael Fitzhugh Bell on his book, The Invisible Crime Part 2. Please join us next week. We will be interviewing Dr. Omaziak on Bosnian Pyramid Healing Energy. Thank you very much.